was just asking Brother Scott how long it's been since he and Debbie have been back here, and I can't believe it's 5 years in April they've been back here and on the road helping small churches and encouraging them, trying to develop soul-winning programs and so forth. They're still in need of monthly support. It's creeping up just barely a little bit incrementally from time to time, and that's probably their greatest need. But I'm glad they've chosen to make this their home church. And, of course, Debbie was here back, well, she was here a few years ago. Okay, put it that way. I don't want to, years and years ago. No, but anyway, she's back home. And so it's a blessing, Brother Scott, and I had a little chance to fellowship this morning. And Brother Scott's going to sing and then preach. If you've never heard him sing, it'll be a blessing. Amen.
Well, it's good to be home. Amen. Oftentimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch the saved away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see. The sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to Him in prayer. Life's day will soon be over. All storms forever past. We'll cross that great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a horse, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burdens down. And it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. see anything about getting a harp in heaven, amen? But I do see getting a horse, amen? All right, well, I like keeping songs scriptural, amen? I don't know who wrote that thing, some Protestant or something, I don't know. Wasn't a Baptist. Well, amen. Hey, it is good to be here. Let me be honest. That'd be a good thing, huh? I don't like the cold. I tell folks this, I own it, I admit it, I am a winter sissy. Amen. I tell folks that all over the nation. And I don't know what y'all have done to cause God's judgment. But this thing of winter, man, y'all need to be getting serious with God about prayer or something. I'm serious. We were now just two Sundays ago, so it was a week and a half ago, we were down in South Texas on the Indian Reservation. Preacher, I don't know, did I tell you about the pastor there? He's only 94 years old, and he's pastoring. Amazing story, really is amazing story. But brother Roy Jernigan is his name. Started that church in 69. He resigned his commission from the Navy, Brother Joe. He'd been a ship's captain on three different destroyers. Had worked in the Pentagon, worked in the White House. And he gave all that up and said, I'm going to work for the Lord. And started a church there on the reservation in 69. He left there about, I guess it's been 14 years ago now. And then they called him back when he was 92, asking him to come back. And a couple of fellows had got it down to where they could pastor it. He left a church of 110, and when he came back, they had 10. And now, when I preached there a couple of Sundays ago, it was they're running around 60. And so in a year and a half, he's been able to build it back up. But, man, it was great weather down there. It was nice. You know, it was a little chilly, but it was nice. And I knew, though, I was headed up here and began to pray, God, please. And we tried to bring some warm weather with us, but I don't know. Y'all are just in trouble with God over something. I did see now that Hillary said she was not going to run in 2020. I heard, though, she was moving back to Chicago and going to be running for governor here in Illinois. Not really. That's yeah, it's bad enough around here, amen. Oh my, oh my. Well, we were here last time. I looked it up August, I believe it's 15th. We looked, and was the last time we were here. So about 7 months ago, and we have stayed busy during that time. God has always been so good to us, but we are started the year with soul winning training down at Garth Road Baptist Church in Baytown, Texas. It's right outside of Houston there. We had an average of 27 in their soul winning classes, and we take 3 weeks. We'll be there teach on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And this is a church that's been through a lot of problems, but got a good pastor, good young pastor there now. You pray for him, Brother Mark Shiflett. He's a Heartland graduate, but pray that God would give him wisdom. He's got a lot of things to handle there, and it's his first pastorate. So if you would pray for him, but utmost in his mind is getting that church back to being a soul-winning church. And I thank God for some young men that still have that as their in their heart to want to be a soul-winning church. Amen. But we left there, and where did we go to? Oh, to Louisiana, where the Maxwells were there. And Brother Jeff Sistrunk said, tell the Maxwells hello. Good work going on there. And then to back to Texas for a couple of weeks and then up here. And so it is good to be home, but in the sense of being able to see you folks, I was telling Preacher, y'all don't realize, and I hope you do, but I don't get to put a actual check in the offering plate all the time. And that's, I'm telling you, that feels good to be able to actually, you know, usually we just mail it, and Brother Luke takes care of all those things for us. But to be able to be here, to fill out an offering envelope, be able to put that check in a plate, I like that. That's a blessing. And if you hadn't got a hold of tithing and given offerings yet, I encourage you, please. You'll never outgive God anyway, and you will get a lot of blessings from Him if you'll get involved in that. So, and man, just encouraging those things. But thank you for all your prayers. Thank you for your support. We do not take that lightly. We let folks know where we're from. We are proud of our church, and when I say that, I do not mean our pastor. Though we love our pastor, we pray for the pastor and staff daily. But I'm talking about you folks. See, this church would not be what it is if it were not for you folks sitting in the pew. And I thank you for your testimony. I really do. This church has a great testimony, along with our pastor around this nation. And I am thankful for that. I really am. I have to be honest, it opens a lot of doors for us to be able to say when I call somewhere and tell them that we are out of Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois, they'll immediately say, "Oh, that's Brother Angel." Yes, that's right. That's my pastor. And many times it opens doors. Sometimes it closes. Not everybody likes him. Can you believe that, Miss Angel? That somebody, I find it hard to believe. I don't want to go there anyway if they don't like my preacher. Amen. 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 Well, take your Bible this evening. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. It's always an honor to be able to stand and preach here. Thank you, preacher, for the opportunity. Luke 23, if you have that, let's stand in honor of reading the Word of God, if you're able. Well, it's a good-looking crowd down here. Not on the front pew, but from their back. Amen. Do you see them? They were all... Oh, my. Luke 23, if you have that, say amen, wave at me, do something. Let me know you're there. You got it? All right, I'm going to start reading in about verse 27. Verse 27. The Bible says, "And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" And I tell you that... Well, we're in a dry time in our nation. I just want to preach on this, though. Be careful you don't dry up. Be careful you don't dry up. Let's pray, and then we'll look at the message. Father, as we come and bow before you, Lord, we are just, I guess there's not really any good words, God, to say how happy we are that we're saved. God, I don't know, more and more lately, it just has been, God's just thrilled my heart more that I'm saved. I don't know why you'd save me, why you'd call me. But God, I'm so happy you have. Lord, please meet with us tonight. We need your presence. We need you to speak to our hearts. And God, I beg you tonight to direct the thoughts of my mind. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Direct me. And those things that you've laid upon my heart to preach. God, just use the message now to help us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to just look at that verse 31. Let me just kind of set the picture, if I could. We have here Christ is headed for Calvary's Hill. He has gone through now the, if you will, the court system. He's been down at Caiaphas' house, and they've mocked him and lied about him. They've taken him to Pilate. They said, we want to kill him. Pilate tells them, I don't find any fault. They said, well, we want him dead. He says, I tell you what, I'll release Barabbas to you. It's not good enough. We want him crucified. And they are vehement about that. They are vocal about that. It amazes me, you know, just a few days before, I guess, what we'd call the triumphal entry there into Jerusalem as he rides in and they're crying out, praising him. But as he's headed up Calvary's Hill, in his humanity, he does not even have the strength to carry the cross to Golgotha. He is so beaten. The Bible is clear, you can't even recognize him as a man. Literally, he looks like hamburger. But he stops and he makes a statement to these ladies. Look at it back there in verse 27. There followed him a great company of people and of women. I'm not sure if that means women weren't people or... Just kidding. Says, and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. So, really, the women are just so heartbroken that as they are watching Jesus headed for that cross, I don't know, I tell the story from time to time. It amazes me that day. You know, no doubt as they took the two thieves, well, they are fighting. They are trying to keep from dying. They know the brutality. They know they're fixing to take and drive those nails through their hands as they nail them to that cross and through their feet. The pain and the agony, no doubt, they're crying out, no, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Then they come to the Savior. And he's not anything like that. See, they didn't take his life. He gave it. Can you imagine the thoughts of their mind as he lays himself down on that cross? I believe without struggle, he laid himself down there, stretched out his hands. Though in agony and pain, but he stops before then and he looks at these women. Look there again, if you would. Verse 28, but Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but for yourselves and for your children. Verse 30, then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what should be done in the dry? Let me try to help you to see what I see here. I see this, that, man, it is such, spiritually, has been such a great time. there around Israel. I mean, stop and think of some of the great things that they have seen with Christ on the scene physically. I mean, they have seen that this Savior, this Messiah, this Christ, they've seen Him as He has healed folks all over. Where we've got lepers that He heals. And can you imagine the pictures? One runs back and begins to fall at His feet, thanking Him and praising Him. And man, just the story there as they look. And he told them, go down to the priest and do what the law says you're to do. And here comes the one running back. Many of them had seen that picture. They'd seen. I remember a preacher preached it like this one time. Four of a kind's better than a full house anytime. You say, what in the world? Yeah, remember there was four fellas of the same heart and mind. They said, we've got a friend. Can't get him to the Savior because of the crowd. They go up on the rooftop, tear the rooftop down. Because of the full house, they can't get there. But that four of a kind let him down. Man, you can imagine the scene as he gets up. Walks out of there. The scene is, remember as he comes into town, and I may have used this illustration here before, but I think it bears repeating, where as he walks into town, there's the widow woman with her son, only son. They're burying him, and as they are carrying the bier through the town, now some of you need to get right there, amen. You just thought B-E-E-R, no. It's B-I-E-R. It's a coffin. Amen. As they are carrying the bier, Jesus reaches up and touches it. And this fellow sits up. And the Bible says he begins to talk. Now, I'm telling you, if I was a pallbearer, Logan, I'm gone. I'm scared of dead folks, man. Especially ones talking. Amen. But can you imagine the scene as he sits up and he begins to talk, man, the thrill of that mom and the amazement of the people. The blind fellow that's sitting by the wayside, he hears the commotion. What's going on? It's Jesus. Jesus, Son of David. Jesus. Over here! And they couldn't get him quiet. But he says, what do you want that I might see? Can you imagine, blind, all of a sudden he's seeing. Man, the time that there's the fellow that's deaf. Now, I don't get this story sometimes. There was first the fellow that's blind, and remember he makes the mud pies? Puts it on his eyes and he tells him, go wash. Then the guy that's deaf, he spits on his fingers. Sticks. Where are you going, Logan? Hey, you're going to ruin my illustration here. I think I'd have been like that too. I don't care if I am deaf. Amen. Hey, what are you doing? You know, amen. But that's what he did. I hadn't figured out, why do you have to spit on his fingers? I don't know. I mean, one of these days I'll get that straightened out. But can you imagine? I mean, the feeding of the 5,000. They take up 12 basketfuls. Feeding of the 4,000. I mean, all the different things that they have seen spiritually in Israel. And people getting saved. Spiritually in Israel, it is a fruitful time. Jesus teaching and preaching like no other man. I mean, preaches with authority. I mean, preaches and teaches in a way that he knows what he's speaking of. And they've listened to this. They've watched it. The people have just, they've followed him everywhere he goes. The lady with the issue of blood, Jairus' daughter. On we could go. Spiritually is a green tree. And I mean, they had seen some very, very fruitful things. But he asked the question. Look at it again. Verse 31. For if they do these things, what things? The cruelty of what's just happened. This one that has traveled their nation now, healing, feeding, loving, transforming lives. This one that has literally offered the opportunity, if you will, to transform this nation of Israel. And they took that one, and they've so beat him now. Again, you can't recognize him. Lied, mocked, spit upon, pulled his beard out by the handfuls. And if they do this kind of thing, I mean, the religious crowd hated him. They'd do anything to bring him to an end. And they were so happy when Judas came in and said, I'll betray him. They were thrilled. They couldn't wait. If they do these things in a green tree, he asked, what should be done in the dry? Can I tell you right now, if you look around our nation, you can see what kind of things be done in the dry. See, we are nigh at the door of these dry times. I've read several different things this week. The president of the Southern Baptist Convention had, in making a speech of some kind, had said that they need to make friends of the LGBT community. I understand wanting to win them to Christ, but that's not what he said. The same week, by the way, they ordained women pastors in the Southern Baptist Convention. Please don't misunderstand. I grew up in the Southern Baptist Convention. I had to leave. I did. By conviction, I had to leave. Not mad at them. It is embarrassing and a shame, though. You look at the what I would consider, you know, the Protestants, the Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Methodists, and that crowd, the compromise and flat heresy that has gone on there, that we see everything from endorsing abortion amongst so-called people of God. And what would be done in the dry? And I'm not even begun to talk about what's going on just as a nation in the dry times, but just the religious crowd. And I know we sit here in a good church. And you don't you don't always see it. You don't always hear about it. And if we're not careful, we'll sit here in a good church isolated from those things and not even realizing what's taking place outside. Let me be a little personal here. See, many of you, man, you're glad that we're part of a soul-winning church. But you're not a soul winner. Can I say what you're doing is, it's you're voting for the dry. See, I want to be like this. You ever seen mistletoe on a, whether it's a winter tree or maybe even on a dead tree? You'll have mistletoe, man, it'll just be a big green clump there. While everything around it is dead and dry. What I'm trying to get at is this. Listen, we may be in dry times, but we don't have to be dry. But I'm telling you, I'm talking about amongst independent Baptists, I'm seeing the dryness appear. Preacher, I want to be careful. There are a lot of good churches across our nation. I mean, folks that are still standing for holiness, still standing for soul winning, still running buses. There are thousands of churches across our nation like that. But can I tell you, there's a lot of them now that are slipping. They hadn't just flat turned their back in error, but they are letting things slip. The music's slipping. The way we dress is slipping. And I'm talking about things that, listen, we've been known for as independent Baptists. We have been known for our aggressive soul winning. Amen. And by the way, it's still right. We've been known for our separation, our preaching on separation, whether it's in dress, whether it's in the movie going, whether it's, it's not my job to, set the standard, not what I'm trying to do. I'm just saying that we have been known for that, and this church is known for that preaching of separation. We are known for the preaching of holiness. We're known for the bus ministry, for the junior church, for the still the afternoon Sunday school, still going after the kids, even in the afternoon, for the great youth ministry that Brother Mick is leading here. It's known around this nation. But if we're not real careful, see, we'll let the dry move in here. And it's creeped in, I'm telling you. Again, there's folks that you are a part of church here. And man, you're glad for what we have. You're for what we have. But you are not what we are. Now, don't get mad at me. If you're going to get mad at Brother Angel. He asked me to preach. Amen. Just preaching what God laid on my heart. I don't know about you. I don't want to be a part of the crowd that's dried up. Let me just give you three quick, simple things how to keep from drying up. Number one, if you would, go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, look down to verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. If you want to keep from drying up, can I tell you, you better fall in love with God. Number one, you better fall in love with God. Listen to me, you will never do anything great for God until you fall in love with Him. You'll not be willing to yield to His will until you fall in love with Him. And listen, let me say this. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're in love with Him. There's a lot of folks today that they're saved, but they're still in love with self. They're saved, but they're in love with stuff. They're saved, but they're in love with fun. Oh, they're saved, but they're in love with money. By the way, if we're not careful, you can be more in love with the work than you are with God. I've been there, to where it was all about the work. But folks, if we're really going to do something great for God, if we're really going to be effective in this world, we've got to stay in love with Him. And listen, you can't fall in love with Him apart from being in this book right here. You're not going to get to know Him until you get your face in this book. Man, there's such good things in here. But I'll be honest with you, the stuff that the Bible says are deep things, can I help you right here? You're not going to find them on the surface. And you're not going to find a good love relationship with God just reading this book. I'm telling you, you're going to have to get in here and scratch around some. You're going to have to dig out some things. Well, I'm telling you this, the truth. He wants a close fellowship with you. But you're not going to get that without a price. You're not Sunday school teacher. You're not going to be as effective as you can be until you fall in love with Him and get to digging in this book to get to know Him. Then you can help those students. School teacher, bus captain. Listen, I'm a choir member. You can't sing about Him like you ought to. Do you fall in love with Him? Preachers, boys, you listen to me. Some of you fellas, I know you've said, I want to be a man of God. You're not going to be until you get in this thing, get scratching around, and get to know Him. And get to loving Him. By the way, can I say this? I want to be careful. He's not always the easiest fellow to know. Sometimes there's some hidden things in His personality that a lot of the just average Christians don't see. And there's sometimes that you've got to have some personal answers from Him that you're not going to get with just a shallow relationship or fellowship with Him. It's a must, folks, that we deal with the sin in our life if we're going to fellowship with Him. See, because you can't find those green things in here that are going to translate to here until there is a love for Him. You're going to have to love the Word. You're going to have to fellowship with him. I've got to hurry. Acts chapter 2, if you would go over there real quick. I'm just about done. Acts chapter 2. Day of Pentecost. Not going to read through the scripture here. You know what's going on. And it's not just that the Christians on that day were indwelt. That's not what it says here. Look in verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a big difference in between indwelling and filling. And I'm telling you, these folks were so excited now about the resurrection and seeing Jesus. They had got to spend 40 days with him talking with them about the things of the kingdom from time to time. Acts chapter 1 and verse 2 or 3 there. After 40 days, they have a 10-day prayer meeting in the upper room. And they come out of there so excited that they cannot help but get out in the streets of Jerusalem. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that they heard that every man heard them speak in his own language. Listen, it wasn't Peter's great preaching that got 3,000 saved on the day of Pentecost. It was that them out there in the streets of Jerusalem, excited about the things of God. And they could not help but tell somebody. And man, people start getting saved. And just like any good preacher, man, Peter started seeing folks getting saved. Hey, y'all come over here. And he begins to preach. 3,000 get saved. Man, what a day. What an excitement. Can I say the truth is, you better get excited about the work lest you dry up. You're going to have to get over that bench warming. There's too many that come and even in a Wednesday night crowd that they're just bench warmers. You come and sit. You listen to the preaching. You love it. You enjoy it. Man, that's good. Brother Mitt, you make sure my teenagers turn out right. Let me help you right here. He can't do that. By the way, not his job. His job is to back you up, Mom and Dad. He's not to raise your kids. But listen, if we're not careful, you check yourself out. Are you still as excited about the work today as you were when you first got here? Now, you forgive me, Miss Debbie and I were talking about it. This church started in 1969. Miss Debbie started coming to this church in 1972. 3 years into this thing. I think she's a nut. Still follows me all over the country. Getting that silly truck, get beat to death, pulling a 42-foot trailer. And she's just as happy. At least that's what she says. Can I tell you, you better stay excited or you're going to dry up. Let me close with this. Not just get excited, but you better get you some prayer life, lest you dry up. He said in Luke 18, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Said over there in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Back there in Luke 18, he ends that parable in this. When he comes again, shall he find faith on the earth? A lot of us, our prayer life is dry. When's the last time you shed tears in your prayer life? When's the last time you was broken over some of the things in your life, some sin? And let's be honest, we're all guilty. There's nobody in here that doesn't have sin in their life. Nobody. How's your prayer life? I mean, do you see some spiritual victories in your prayer life? Or is it just dry? Maybe even you come down here and listen to the preaching and you think, man, that preacher's dry. Maybe it's not the preacher. Maybe it's you. Because we're in a dry time. I don't know about you. I don't want to dry up. I want to stay tender. I want to keep getting something green. I've been hearing it more and more. Man, I agree with it. I want to die right. I want to go out of here doing right. A lot of folks don't. Let me just ask you, are you dry or are you green? Let's stand at our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around, please. What about it tonight? Would you describe your Christian life as a green tree or dry? Is there anybody here tonight you'd say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died tonight, I do not know for sure I'm going to heaven. I know this, I do not want to go to hell. I'd like to get saved. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that? You just slip your hand up good and high. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd sure like to be. Would you pray for me? I want to pray for you. Anybody like that this evening? All right. How many of you would say this? God used the message and spoke to my heart. Maybe it's something that I said. Maybe it's something totally different. But God spoke to your heart this evening. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? God spoke to my heart. Hands all over the house. Thank you. Let me encourage you to do this. Don't let that be a one-sided conversation. God took His time to talk to you tonight. Why don't you come to an old-fashioned altar and talk to Him? I'm going to pray. The piano's going to play. The invitation is going to be open. If you need to come, you move quickly tonight. Father, please take the message now. God, use it that it might be a help to your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now you come. God wants you to come. You come on.
look this way. I knew the answer to the question I asked Brother Netterville on the platform. I knew the answer to it. I said, did you listen to my Sunday night message? He said, no. I knew that. About 3 hours ago, I preached about loving God. I preached about tears and brokenness. I don't think things get repeated because there's nothing else to preach. That's a pretty big book with all kinds of truths in it. But isn't it interesting that in a 73-hour period, and how many messages, how long since you heard a message on brokenness or tears? Before Sunday night, now you hear it twice. We're praying for revival. We don't know what we're asking God for. Revival begins with brokenness. Begins with tears. And loving God. And that was just a reiteration. And Brother Netterville, thank you for that. I don't want to dry up. Amen. Don't want to do that. And a good message for us tonight. And evidently something that the Lord is trying to get our attention about. So be open to it. Be open to it. You know, everything's about laughter and fun now. I think it's somewhere along the lines of what Jesus said one time, or something like, you know, you can laugh now and cry later, or you can cry now and laugh later. And I'm all for fun and merriment, and merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And I got tickled about some things today and told you about it at the start of the service. But when it comes to what God wants for us, boy, we better be serious. These are not frivolous times, in case you've missed it. But anyway, tremendous message. Be sure and greet Brother Scott and Debbie tonight. They are only here tonight, headed out Saturday, and won't be back until Revival Fires Conference in the middle of April.